the Lord's Psalms. Today we're going to look at Psalm 148. We've already used it in our call to worship. And it reads, it says, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights above, praise him all his angels, praise him all his heavenly host, praise him sun and moon, praise him all you shining stars, praise him you highest heavens and the waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and heavens. He has raised up his people a horn, the praise of all his saints of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. Let us now pray. Dear Lord, we have heard this call from the psalmist of praising your holy name, of everything and all creation praising you. Help us to know that this has been a year that you have been praised in this church. You have been glorified in all that we do. We thank you, O Lord, for we are able to do this. You have enabled us through your love and grace to be able to praise your name. And now as we end the year, we praise your name and ask your blessings be upon us that we may indeed praise even more in the days and the weeks and the months ahead of us in a new year. Lord, we don't know what waits for us, but we know that your grace is there. It is abiding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In seminary, I enjoyed Old Testament more than I did just New Testament in study, because Old Testament was always always focused on detail. New Testament is relationship, and just of course is a personal matter when I deal with the Gospels, especially Mark. And I deal with Romans, my favorite of all the scriptures. But the Old Testament, it takes me back to when I was a child and my grandfather would teach me Old Testament. He was a great Old Testament scholar. We talked about Isaiah, Jeremiah, the Psalms, the Proverbs. Every time I would go to be with him, we would talk about scripture. That's what we did. We would sit around and he would drink his coffee and I would have some sweet tea and I'd be eating a biscuit, of course. Because food helps the word go down better. And we would sit there and talk, and we would argue scripture is what Grandma said we did. In reality, we were discussing it, and I would ask challenging questions. Now, this psalm on the surface, when we look at the psalm, we see it as a simple psalm of praise the Lord, and he goes through the list. The psalmist, of course, David, is going through the list of all the things that are above on earth and all the life that surrounds us. But there's something deeper going on here. Never take the word of God for its simple. Always look for the greater and then come back to the simple so we can apply it to our lives. So as we take this to a higher level, let's look at what this psalm is really saying for us where we are. It starts out with praising the Lord and the direction. You know, with me, I'm always looking for patterns and directions. I see patterns and directions every single day. In fact, sometimes when I walk by something in plants or flowers, I'll see patterns and connections. It's just the way I'm built, I'm wired. In this scripture, I see that pattern. The praise, it starts out not around us. It doesn't start on things on our level. The praise starts upward to heaven. I do believe in the earliest days, when our ancestors looked at the sky and they saw the stars, they saw patterns. And they knew these stars were in motion because they moved every night. And they started to develop the idea of the calendar of the year. And these patterns became how they lived their life to mark certain things. Like for you and for me, we can think of certain years. The year 1989 for me will always be a year that has just all kinds of memories around it, because in that year we lost so much in the Smith family with the passing of those we love. Also, the pattern of dates and certain times. And we look at the heavens, and that's how we measure things. In fact, Easter is determined by the solstice. It's determined by the movement of the sun and of the moon. See, the pattern's up above, and what the psalmist is saying is when we see this, what do we see? I think we see not just a creation that just happens to be. I mean, just think about it. What really just happens to be? There is no such thing as happenstance. There's always God's pattern and plan for our life. You did not end up here today because it just happened to be. It's not a simple choice of chance or chaos. You are here because everything is in motion for this moment. In fact, if you tried to go back, you can't. And the reason we can't go back is that even if we could go back to the same spot, the same seemingly environment with the same emotions and the same all the parts that make up the moment, we can't because the earth has moved and the sun has moved and the galaxy has moved and the universe has moved. The other night, with Leanna and Andrew, we went to go see Star Wars. How many have seen Star Wars? For the Last Jedi. There we go. Amen. I just amen Star Wars. Can you believe that? And I read all the critics. And I had all the spoilers. And I kept trying to tell Leanna the spoilers. And she kept saying, no, don't tell me anything. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. And so I went already predetermined. It was a horrible movie. And lo and behold, I loved it. I totally loved the movie. I fell in love with it, totally. I preached the whole way back with the kids, and they didn't want to hear it. But I talked about how the Force is like quantum, and you've heard me say quantum, and how God connects all things, and it's a story of hope because it seems like every time we're in a battle and it seems like there's no hope, somehow hope prevails. And that's what I was telling the kids, and they, of course, saying, we heard it before, Dad, because, see, they get my preaching all the time. Every time we go somewhere. Even when we've been to Disney, I'll like stop them at the gate and go, look at this. Isn't this glorious and great? And by the time I turn around, they're gone. They just don't understand that that's what just a dad does. They like to explain things. This is how it works, you know. This is what's going on. When you're a preacher, you add a little mustard on that hot dog, you know. And you tell them not just what's going on, but you tell them the why it's going on. So in the scripture, when we're looking upward for the pattern, I'm seeing why it's going on. And the older I get, the more I see why it's going on. Something wonderful is happening. Now, it may be hard to see through the veil, tears and fears. It may be hard to see because the smog has settled in, the clouds have come overhead, and those stars we can't quite see. So what I used to love about the mountains is you could go out on parts of the mountain where no sun is shining and you could see into the heavens and see the Milky Way and the stars. It's amazing. When I was a young boy over here at Kipling years ago, we had a meteorite shower was going to happen, you know. And so I told my parents I was going to go out there and look at it, and I got behind the parsonage over at Kipling and I sat on the back steps and I kept waiting for, you know, something, and it didn't happen, and I figured I was looking the wrong way, but I was determined to sit there and wait for something to happen, and suddenly, directly over the house, a fireball came, and it was close, and I could see the flames trailing this meteor coming in, and it was right over the house, heading straight to Fuquay-Vera Rica, and I jumped up, and I was going, oh, my Lord. And this fireball was there, and of course, it was probably something very small because it wasn't a large fireball, but I was watching it, and I ran back inside and said, I saw one, and Dad thought I'd just seen something just quickly in the distance, and I said, no, man. I said, this thing hit Fuquay-Vera Rica, I do believe. I said, let's go. Take me over there. Let's go try to find it, and he told me we won't find it. He said, it burned up in the atmosphere, and he said, you were privileged, and what are you supposed to do when you see a shooting star? Make a wish. I hadn't made my wish yet on that star. I'm holding that one. That's the one in my back pocket. Because the day is going to come when I'm going to need that up there for this down here. The day is going to come when I'm going to need this special grace from God. And I'm going to pull it out. And I'm going to say, Lord, I'm turning it in. See, we've been told in this world that what goes up must, what? Come down. And we've been told wrong, because the truth is what's down must rise up. See, the psalmist is saying, praise him, all the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Now, how can a sun and how can a moon praise the Lord? They're just there. They're just there. The sun's a big glob of gas and is burning and is very hot. You know the first words of a man on the sun? Ouch, ouch, that's hot, that's hot. That's one of my old jokes when I was a boy. And I still think it's funny, because the idea of, you know, a man hopping around the sun is hot. Of course, you can't really do that, but it's a funny joke. But this sun, how can a sun praise the Lord? How can a moon praise the Lord? Praise him, all you shining stars. And the answer to that, of course, is that they cannot speak, but they can be. They're being, they're existing, they're shining, they're reflecting. The moon reflects light. It's not an origin of light. It reflects sun. So when we look at the moon, we're not really seeing the moon's light, we're seeing the sun's light. That's why the moon has a crescent, it has stages, it has phases, is that the sun peeks around the earth and shines upon it where we can see it in a way that it's reflecting the light. So when we can't be the light, we must reflect the light, and that's how we praise him. It says, praise him, you highest heavens, and the waters above the skies. Now, me and my granddad had a big conversation over this. Because he said, Jerome, you got to understand, there's waters up in heaven. I said, Dad, according to science, there's nothing up there but space. There's no water there, because in the ancient times, they believed that the earth was the earth and there was the sky, and above that, there were waters like an ocean. And so when they looked out at the sky, they thought that was ocean. And he said, oh, there's waters above the earth. And I said, no, there's only stars and there's space and it's a vacuum. And you can't do that, because you can't have water in a vacuum. And I went into all that. He said, you don't get it. There are waters up there. And he was explaining to me how he saw things through his eyes of faith. And I was trying to say how I saw things through eyes of fact. And I come to realize that faith and fact work hand in hand. They're not against each other. Because the truth is, through quantum, we are looking at an ocean of connection. Everything is connected. We are not looking at an emptiness above us. We're looking at something that's above us. There's a connection in all things that happen. Now, none of you are going to pull out a lightsaber, I hope, and show me that force. But you can have a heart of gold. And that's what it says here. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. So here at this last Sunday, we're talking about God and the Creator God, the God who made things happen. He made something out of nothing. By the way, the character in the movie, Ray, she has nothing. She has no family, no parents. She's an orphan. She was raised on a desert planet. She doesn't have any story. She's a nobody. She's nothing. Yet out of that nothing came the main protagonist, the main character of the movie, who the whole movie is based on, because in her, hope is discovered in this people who need hope. See, we are something made out of nothing. It's not the nothingness that defines us. It is the something that defines us. You are somebody. You are somebody special. God loves you and me in a special way. We are somebody. The earth's telling us we're nobodies. You ever notice how in playoffs and sports, teams always want to play the respect card? I get no respect. Did you know even Alabama's trying to play the no respect card right now? And this is blowing my mind. Alabama, of all teams, my Lord have mercy. When their boys go to the lunchroom to eat, they take two trays out to the table. I mean, there's a seriously big boys at Alabama. I think they're cloning them over there. Never seen a school that can win. And here they are, and now they're just old Nick Saban. He's trying to say, well, nobody respects us. And I'm going, you're Alabama. What are you talking about? See, everybody wants to play that I'm nothing, I'm nobody, but I'm going to prove to them I'm somebody. You don't have to prove what you already are. You're the Creator's child. And when He created all this above us, these heavens and these stars and this ocean of connection, He had us in mind. He has set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. So the psalmist is saying when we praise, we must praise our direction upward. Now we're going to look around. The earth, what's down here? And he says we praise the Lord from the earth. And he starts out with the sea creatures and all the ocean depths. Have you seen some of the sea creatures that they've been discovering that are out there? There are some ugly, weird fish out there. When I lived at the ocean over at Wan Chi's, I tell you the truth, I don't even like seafood anymore. Can you believe that? Some of you still trying to figure out my eating habits. How did this preacher get to this size and he doesn't like collards and doesn't like greens and doesn't like cabbage? Oh my, I don't know cabbage. But I'm not going to bad talk it because I know we're supposed to eat some greens tomorrow. Isn't that right? If you eat greens tomorrow, what do you get? Dollar bills, amen. Some of y'all are going to be chowing down on greens tomorrow, amen. Now, if you eat some black-eyed peas, what do you get? Well, you get pennies. That's what I've been told, pennies. And people don't even pick up pennies anymore. Go to the grocery store and look down when you walk, and there's pennies everywhere. People dropping pennies like it's popcorn. They don't even pick them up anymore. Back when I was a mean boy, I super glued the pennies to the ground and watched people try to pull it up. They'd sit there and they'd work on that and try to fix that and pull that penny up, but now people just walk by. My mercy. What was that poor lady the other day? She got her electric bill. Did y'all see that? She got her electric bill, and the bill was for $248 billion electric bill. Can you believe that? She must have had a lot of Christmas lights is what I figured. What it was, the decimal was in the wrong place. See, they put the decimal in the wrong place. It's supposed to be $248 instead of billion. Somehow they messed it up. See, the world, when we look around, messes things up. It puts the decimal place in the wrong place. So we think we have, you know, less when really we have more, and we think we owe more when really we owe less. See? And he's saying we have to praise the Lord, and even out in the ocean, even those things that aren't even of our world, they're of an aquatic world. Even they praise the Lord. And then he describes, this psalm is like the Weather Channel. He describes the lightning and the hail and the snow and the clouds. Has there been a lot of snow up in the lake effect snow up in New York? Unbelievable amount of snow. And lightning, always be careful around lightning. We were at the parsonage there over at Wan Chi's, and it was Andrew and me sitting in the front room, and there was a lightning bolt hit the transformer next to the parsonage, and it ran different ways, and it came into the house, and that was an old decrepit parsonage. And it came into the house, and somehow that bolt or piece of it hit Andrew and me. It came out of the top of his head, and it came out of my chest. So I told him afterwards we were superheroes now, and since we'd been, you know, zapped. Now, it didn't really knock us out, but even that little piece of that lightning was so powerful, it had that effect. See, and the psalmist is saying that all things around us, even the lightning and the hail and the snow and the clouds and the stormy winds, and that's what we think set the alarm off last night here at the church. It was about 3:58 the alarm went off, and of course I slept right through it, but we have other faithful people that are on the list. We think the wind got a hold of this door right here, but I'm going to tell you right now, if somebody bad tried to enter in, that alarm would have got them. See, when we look around, we see a world that has powers, and there's fears, and there's things that can hurt us and things that we can hurt. We live in a vulnerable world, yet even in the midst of that, the psalmist is saying that we need to praise God because God made it that this is the case. Sisters and brothers, imagine if you were a team that all you did is ever win. Just every game, you just win. It's like the old joke they tell about the man and the preacher who stuck away on Sunday going to play golf. And, preachers aren't supposed to do anything like that, like mow the grass or, play golf or anything like that on Sundays. And he snuck away to play, and he was out there on the first hole, and the angels up in heaven are looking around going, we got to teach him a lesson. And St. Peter says, don't worry about it, I got it. And the first hole is like a par four, and he hits a hole in one. And the angels go, St. Peter, that's not helping him. And he goes to the second hole, it's a par five, hits a hole in one. He shoots 18 at the end, and the angels are going, that's not very good. You're not really teaching him a lesson. And he said, yes, I am, because he can't tell anybody about it. See, imagine if you only won in life. Imagine if everything went perfect in every way, that you just could do anything, and it was golden. It'd be a horrible life. It'd be terrible. Every now and then you got to burn the cookies in the oven because they're crunchy and they're good. I do like cookies. Every now and then you just got to really just have a day where things are not going the way you thought to help make meaning of life. Because if we start to think this is heaven, we will never know heaven. If we start to think this is perfect, now I know this is a hard sell. I know telling people, this is for your own good. Nobody wants to hear that. This is for my good. It's like when that teacher gives you that assignment, and you're going, I don't think this is teaching me anything, teacher. You're going to do it because this is for your own good. See, God has made the creation around us to help us to see how perfect he is because of how imperfect we are, and this is. So he's saying even the mountains and the hills and the fruit trees and the cedars and the wild animals and all the cattle, the small creatures and the flying birds, he describes all these things giving praise to God. It's amazing, this creation that we have, that we have all these things that are around us. There's going to be a new movie, because I like to see the previews. The other night, I was hurrying the kids saying, we got to get there. We got to see the previews. I got to see the previews. That's why I go to the movies, to see the previews. Don't you like the previews? I love the previews. There's a new movie coming out called Alpha. It's about a dog. It's about a young, a boy back in the time of the Ice Ages, and somehow he gets separated from his tribe. I can tell you this all by the previews. And he gets separated, and he gets attacked by this wild pack of wolves, and one of the wolves gets injured, and in the process, he's tending to the wolf, and that wolf becomes the first domesticated dog. That's what the movie's about. So this relationship between this wolf dog and this young boy as he tries to make it back to his tribe, his people, and now he has done something no one else has done. And the truth is, at some point in history, somebody in time domesticated a wild dog, and that wild dog has become the alpha dog of all dogs, even our little dog and your dog. And the story is about how this journey is that now they're going together towards the same destination, and that God created it. And I think about how we have things around us that help us to know where we are, that we have pets and we have just different things that are around us that are telling us of the creation. And he's saying that all these things in their very being are praising God. Not everything is at war. This is not just an earth that's in chaos being torn apart. There are great and wonderful things happening. Your life is not all a mess. God is doing great things in your life, with your family, with your children. You are being blessed. And then he continues, the kings of the earth, and he's talking now about all the life that is around us and how we are being blessed. And even the nations are being blessed. We had a service. It was a beautiful service, Mr. Dan. And it deeply touched my heart. We had this, this cemetery with committal over on 421. And I decided after the cemetery with committal service, I'd go over to Lillington, just get a little something to drink. And I noticed all the new houses that are going up over there. Have you seen all the new houses being built right through that one section? I lost count like after 8. And I'm going, oh my Lord, people are building houses. America is so blessed. Leanna can tell you, she's seen the world. There's some places in the world that are suffering. There's some places that do not have what we have. We are indeed a blessed people. And even though we may not agree with all the politics and all the things that go on in our nation needs to get on its bended knee and thank God Almighty we are a blessed people. Because the freedom we have is not just a simple freedom. It's a freedom that came through sacrifice. It's a freedom that we need to praise the Lord for. He says, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. His name is just alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And he's raised up for his people a horn. Now, what this horn means in Hebrew is it means a salvation. God has raised salvation. And the reason for the salvation is that we in our relationship need that step up to Him. We need that step up to Him. Now, there are people that have been coming to church for years, and all they've ever done with Jesus, with God, is stepped out. But my prayer is that you and I, together this coming year, will not just step out, we'll step up. I want us to step up. And how we step up is that God has raised a horn for his people where the praise of all his saints of Israel, the people close to his heart, God is closer to you than you've ever imagined. Now, how do I know that? How can I say that? Well, I've been here a couple of years now. It's been a wonderful journey. I came in a little bit distant. Some of you wondered, you know, if I was from another country, another place, kind of quiet and Jerome. He doesn't seem to get excited about anything. Well, the way I am and the way I see things is that I've always watched people come in and say they love me and hug me and I don't know them. I love you, and run in there, go to a preacher meeting. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. And I'm going, you don't even know my name. Who are you? Who are you hugging me? Said, let's just get to know each other, you know. If we're going to the dance, at least go get me some punch, you know. Get me some assorted nuts or something to eat. Just don't start dancing with me. Now, I may not be good at relationships in that way. Some of you think you just got to cut loose and start dancing and everything's happy. But I've seen that happen, and then as quickly as they come, they go. They don't understand what it really means to be in love. See, when you deal with Jesus, you're not just saying, I love you, Jesus. It's wonderful. I love my Jesus. It's like that Jesus, you know, that people have, the bobbinhead Jesus, and he goes down the road on the dash of your car, and you can talk to that Jesus and say, Jesus, what do you think? And you go over a bump, and he'll shake his head, yes. You go over a railroad track, and he'll shake his head, no. And see, that's what, you know, people want out of a Jesus. They want a Jesus who doesn't really say anything except shake his head. But see, our Jesus is in constant communication with us. And you're going, well, how? How's he in communication with us? Go out there. And look at a cow and you'll see Christ. Look at the sky and you'll see God the Creator. Look at your children and you'll see the family of God. See, God has created his story all the way around us. We are in a storybook. And we're the characters in the storybook. And this isn't no regular storybook where Jack and Jill, they went up the hill to get some water. This isn't a storybook where there's a Goldilocks and there's bears and this girl's breaking into their house and they had an alarm system on that house, I guarantee you. And she tried everything until she found what was just right and they caught her and run her off, you know. This isn't that kind of storybook God has made. God has made a storybook that's a pop-up storybook. How many of you have ever seen a pop-up storybook? Don't you love those? What happens? You got a book, you open it up, and what happens? It pops up, right? And usually they got a little thing where you can like pull a piece and somebody's arm will wave like that. You pull it and they wave. See, these are books that are not flat anymore, but they have a life to themselves. They're wonderful to look at. See, he has raised up for us a storybook with a Savior who isn't just a man who lived long ago, but a Savior who is here now. Now, this isn't the sermon yet, Danny, that I'm going to preach on it, but I'm going to touch it. A week or so before Miss Kathy passed, I went in, and Daniel, of course, was there. And so Miss Kathy said, I got to tell you, I said at least 500 times, Jesus, help me. She had been going through a hard time. And she said at least 500 times, Jesus, help me. And on the way back with that day, of course, I didn't know what would happen. Came as a shock. But I'm always writing sermons. I always see, you know, connections. I see the bigger picture. I try to. And it just came to me what she was saying. Jesus, help me. That's the first point of the sermon. Sometimes when we're in this storybook and all the things are around us, and yes, we can praise the Lord, but there's things we don't understand or things we don't know. And we're in trouble and we cry out, Jesus, help me. The second part of that story is, why me, Lord? Because when these things happen, why do bad things happen to good people? Why is it this past year bad things have happened to good people? Why is it in 2018 bad things will happen to good people? So we ask the question, Jesus, help me, and then why me, Lord? And the answer comes in the final part of that. Thank you, Jesus. Because we see what truly life is meant to be. Sisters and brothers, I've been to the grave of my parents, but I don't want them back here. I don't want them on this cold earth. I don't want them where the winds are fierce. I don't want them when the sorrows are many. I'm not that selfish. I want them to be where they are, next to my Lord. I praise God for all that He has given me. I praise Him for my beautiful family, for my beautiful church, for my beautiful people. I praise Him for all that He's given me, but I praise Him the most for what yet He has to give me. And that's going to be that star. It came, that fiery ball over my head in Kipling as a teenager. The one I'm holding out for is not on this earth. The one I'm holding out for is Jesus. And I'm going to hand it to Him, and I'm going to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we go into this coming year, let us know that all the heavens and earth praise Your holy name. Let us know that even though the world we live in has sorrows and joys, Your love is in the midst of it, and all paths lead to the one path of reconciliation and eternal life. Lord, let us know the judgment is coming, and it will be swift and severe upon those who do not turn to You. Lord, let us step out, but more importantly, step up to You. Let us step up that we will know the purpose of the greater story that is being told. And Lord, let us this year reach out to somebody and invite them along for the journey. In Jesus' holy, sweet name we pray. Amen.